Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast. So we're always seeking to teach the Bible in such a way that it's relevant, practical, empowering for you and where you are. We're trying to answer the questions that you're asking in your life with the scripture, right? So sometimes people say, how come you don't teach the whole Bible? And my answer is always, well, I only have 30 minutes, you know. It's going to be hard to get through the whole Bible. But even throughout the years, I'm probably not going to spend a lot of time in Leviticus or in the Minor Prophets. Because when it comes to relevant and important issues, there's good stuff there, don't get me wrong. I enjoy studying those books of the Bible. But for you, a few minutes each week, we're trying to supercharge a lesson that will help you where you live every day. And so we focus on New Testament, though we do spend some time in the Old Testament, and particularly the letters of Paul to the church, because he wrote to the New Testament churches, and he deals with issues that they were struggling with. And you know, humanity goes through the years and technology changes and, you know, many things in the natural change, but the real needs of men and women has never changed. The struggles of families and the issues of relationships and the daily life have never changed. So we're in the book of Romans, maybe the most important letter that Paul wrote to the church in Rome. And we would refer to it as the Magna Carta, the great charter of the church. It's the most detailed message of New Testament Christian life. So a lot of great stuff in here, every chapter full of fun passages. A quick review. In chapter 1, they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. So God gave them up to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting. What a tragedy. We see so much of that in our world today. When you reject God and you resist truth and you are wanting your own truth and you don't want to worship God, you want to worship creation, you want to worship creatures, but you don't want to worship the Creator, then you lose your mind. Your mind gets off and you begin to do those things which are not good. In chapter 2, Paul writes, do you despise the riches of his goodness, the forbearance, the long suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads us to repentance? What a wonderful thought. It's not preaching on sin that helps people get free from sin, right? Every now and then I'll have somebody, usually someone who grew up in kind of an old Pentecostal type church, and they'll say, Pastor, we need more preaching on sin. And you know my answer, right? I don't need to preach on sin because you're already good at that. I'm trying to preach on righteousness and joy and peace and health and strength, because that's where we're not so good. Some people really believe that hellfire and brimstone brings people to God. It never did. If there ever was an era where that hellfire and brimstone preaching was popular, churches were small. And in that time, we kind of lost our influence in our culture. But the goodness of God, Paul writes, brings us, attracts us. Telling people they're evil doesn't make them want to come to church, right? But encouraging with the goodness of God That is attractive. Chapter 3, we could go to verse 17 where Paul writes, it's the law of faith, not the law of religion, not the law of works, not the laws of tradition, but rather the law of faith. But also in verse 23 of Romans chapter 3, for a quick review, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So we're covering material quickly, and there's a lot of good passages to discuss. And Caleb and I will do our best to get to as many as we can. But we're basically going to go through one or two chapters every week. So we're gonna keep moving. Now, let's go to chapter 4 and verse 1. We're going to talk about Abraham, our father. Whether we're Jew or Gentile, Abraham is our father, and you'll see why. Romans chapter 4 and verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our father, has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, Paul would say Abraham, our father, because Paul was a Jew. He was an Israelite. Abraham was the beginning of the Jewish nation, right? Through Abraham came Isaac. Through Isaac came 12 sons who grew into the 12 tribes of Israel. Through that nation of Israel, Jesus was born, and salvation came to all. So the Jews, they're a unique people or special people. They brought the word of God. They brought the temple of God. They brought Jesus in a natural way. They were involved with that. When you and I believe in Jesus, we become part of Abraham's children. We are spiritual children. And that's why throughout the New Testament, Paul writes, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, bond or free, rich or poor, black, white. It's not about nationalities. It's not about races. It's not about cultures. When you believe in Christ, you are part of the family. You are in him, and in him, your roots go all the way back to Abraham. So Abraham is our father. In the book of Galatians chapter 3, it speaks of through Abraham, we connect with Jesus and the curse of this world is broken. So we look to Abraham as the father of our faith. And many people don't realize, we kind of say in the Old Testament, it was all about the law, which is true. Moses brought the Ten Commandments, brought the rest of the laws of Israel's way. However, even then, they were called upon to believe, right? They couldn't be born again. They couldn't be filled with the Spirit. That hadn't come yet. It wasn't available yet. But the Old Testament still says, the just shall live by faith. And here, referencing Abraham, Paul says, what does the scripture say? Well, the scripture says back in Genesis chapter 11, Abraham believed God. So that was the beginning. It wasn't law. There was no law for Abraham to follow, right? There was no sacrifices to be made. There was no synagogue or temple to worship in or tabernacle. None of that had happened. It didn't happen until generations later with Moses. But Abraham was the beginning because he believed. And church, you probably hear me say this too much. Maybe you get tired of hearing me say it, but it's always about what you believe. It's always your faith that makes the difference. And throughout the scripture, we see it said in so many ways, the just shall live by faith. What does it mean to live by faith? It means every part of our life takes faith to live it as God wants us to live it. It takes faith to love your spouse and love your children and follow God and lead your family. It takes faith to overcome sickness, disease, poverty, cultural crises, worldly crises. It takes faith. And it's sad that many people who would call themselves believers don't really believe. See, I got no amens on that, right? But you know it's true. Many who say I'm a Christian actually don't live by faith. Now, they may believe that when I die, I'm going to heaven. But they also believe while I'm here, life sucks. Right? They believe in their salvation for eternity, but they don't believe in any part of God's blessing on their life now. And let me say it to you like this. If you believe you'll never have a blessed life, you're probably right. I'm sad, but you need to know, you're probably right. Because you believe you'll never have a blessed life. If you believe you can never get out of debt, that you cannot prosper. Now, the Bible said God gave you the power to get wealth, but you don't believe that. You believe because maybe of your family, maybe your background, maybe you have debt, or maybe you've lost a job, or for whatever reason, if you don't believe in God's power to give you wealth, you'll stay poor. I'm sorry, and I'm sad. But if that's what you believe, if you believe you married the wrong person, and that it's not God's will that you're married to that person. Don't look at him right now, because we don't want to get something going here. Just keep looking straight ahead. Right? But if you believe that, you're headed for a divorce. Then, after you get divorced, you'll say, see, I told you, it wasn't God's will and I married the wrong person. No, you believed it wasn't God's will. And you believed you married the wrong person, and that's why your marriage failed. It's not because it is the wrong person, it's because of what you believe. And this is where we struggle. And when it happens, when things happen the way we believe they're gonna happen, we say, see, I told you. But that should be the clue. We are self-fulfilling prophets. Right? So maybe you've been in our church for some time and you've not been able to find a job. Well, there's no good jobs out there. Okay, but you know what? Probably sitting in your row, there's somebody who found a great job. I know there are many people in this room who recently found great jobs, but you can't find a great job. Why? Because you believe there are no great jobs. And if we really got in to the psychoanalysis of it, you just don't want to work. However, that's a whole nother service. But let me just throw this out since I'm on a roll here. I must be butter because I'm on a roll. Did you know the Bible said, if you don't work, you don't eat? That would sort the welfare out quick. We'd be finding some jobs up in here because you know you want that McDonald's supersize. Okay, that's another deal. But what we believe is so huge. You see, God created us in a way that you move toward what you believe, subconsciously, spiritually. It's an unusual thing. It's almost an unexplainable thing. You move toward what you believe. If you believe you're going to be sick, you move toward sickness. If you believe you're not going to get well, you keep moving in that sickness. So even without God, what you believe matters. But how much more those of us who have a relationship with God should know that according to your faith, be it unto you. And that started with Abraham. No law, no commandments, no temple, no tabernacle, no priest. Abraham believed. And God said, it's you and me, bro. You're the beginning. You're the first. You're the one who trusts me. I'm going with you. He's nothing special. He wasn't highly educated. He came from a Gentile family. That's all there was Gentiles. But he was the first and the father of our faith. And it's always about faith. It's always about what we believe. So Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So 45 years ago now, almost 50, I started working on what I believe because I had believed such wrong things and such small things. Some of us don't really believe bad or evil, but we believe small, right? So we're like the genie in a bottle. Great, big, mighty power. Little bitty living space. We just think small. Jesus says, if you can believe, you can live large and in charge. You can break out of your traditions. You can break out of your family, you know, habits or ways, and you can live beyond what you could ask or think, right? So what we believe always matters. Now go to Romans chapter 4, verse 13. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed, his children, through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So even back then, the promise from God in the Old Testament was through faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, then faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Because the law brings wrath. Where there is no law, there is no transgression. So Paul is arguing even Israel does not receive the promise of God through the law. Abraham received it through faith. Everyone, including Israel, receives it through faith. It's always about what you believe. And, you know, even in Christian churches and what we would say Gentile churches, right? There are churches that we refer to as Messianic Jewish churches. So they believe in the Messiah, but they also have a little bit of Jewish tradition. The law, the works, the traditions are not what brings the promise of God. You would, most of us who are Gentiles here, we obviously know that. We're not trying to follow traditions of Israel. But you would think the Messianic church would realize it's always faith. And yet they love the veils and the shawls, the prayer shawls and the traditions of the law and the ram's horn. I've been to services where they think blowing the ram's horn brings the Holy Spirit. I was like, well, if I was a Holy Ghost, I'd be getting up out of here. This peoples are weary. But it's easy to get caught. I call it TBN Christianity. You get trapped. You think the trinkets are what's doing it. I'm going to send you a piece of red hair and put it under your husband's pillow. He'll get saved. Probably not. I'm going to get a cup made of acacia wood. Now, if all the cups that they say were made of acacia wood really were made of acacia wood, there wouldn't be a single tree in Israel. Those cups are made in China. But we Christians, we buy into it. I'm going to get the cup and the wood and the communion, and I'm going to get a miracle. I had a friend one time that was selling his handkerchiefs and saying that if you get my handkerchief, well, Paul, they took his handkerchief and people got healed. But this guy wasn't Paul. And he sent out so many pieces of cloth that I was like, bro, you'd have to use a handkerchief for 1,000 years to have that much cloth. These aren't your handkerchiefs. This is a cloth that you got down at the clothing store somewhere. But people buy into it, right? It's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get the cloth. And maybe what they believe in that situation helps them, but the thing, the physical, the work or the material isn't what does it. It's the faith. It's what you believe. So don't get tricked. Right? Don't fall into the traditions. Just know that when you believe God's promise, you can receive it. That promise starts working. Salvation is yours. Holy Spirit is yours. Healing is yours. Prosperity is yours. And don't talk yourself out of it. Well, nobody in my family's ever done that. Oh yeah, a lot of people in your family have, because you're part of Abraham's family that goes back generations now, right? So what Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. Are you with me? So it's always by faith. Verse 16, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not only to those who are of the law, that's Israel, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, that's the Gentile world, who is the father of us all. So are you getting it? Jews, Gentiles, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you are, it's what you believe that matters. Give me an amen right there. All right, verse 17, Romans 4, 17. As it is written, I've made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now, let's stop right there. Let's think about that for a minute. So God began to call Abraham. So God likes to change your name. In the Bible, he would change guys' names, right? And Abram became Abraham. So a new identity, a new way of thinking about himself. So Abram, father, becomes Abraham, father of many nations. But when God began to call him that, how many children did he have? He had no kids. He's 100. And his wife Sarah is 90. Now, even if they're, may I politely say, sexually active, there's no kids coming out. Now, Abraham had many servants, staff members, 300, actually over 300 that were born in his house. So that means 300 born and raised with him, and their parents were around too. Hundreds of staff, helpers, people taking care of the sheep, helping out with the tents or whatever. What do you suppose they thought when Abraham said, staff meeting today, get everybody together, I'm making an announcement here. You've all been calling me Abram my whole life since you've known me. Today, I have a new name. My name is Abraham. And that brother's like, you mean father of many nations? Yes, exactly. Like all your servants? No, my children. Have you lost your mind, bro? You getting senile? Dementia's setting in. What's up with you? Well, God spoke to me. And back when I left where my father lived and came to this nation or this place, I had a word from God. And I believe it. And recently God spoke to me again and said, you'll be the father of many nations. And then Paul writes, God, who calls things that are not as though they were. So this is how faith works. God calls things that are not as though they were. You're the father of many nations. I don't have one kid. Well, I'm saying you're the father of many nations. Okay, well then sure enough, Sarah gets pregnant. And that's a fun story. You should read it in the book of Genesis. When Sarah heard that Abram was changing his name, or God was changing his name, and he was going to be the father of many nations, she started laughing. Right? So it's not like Sarah was a big faith girl. She's laughing. And Abraham was like, girl, just be quiet. Get back. He was embarrassed that one of the angels might get upset. So then the angel says, yeah, well, when the child comes, we're going to name him Isaac. What does Isaac mean? Laughter. Don't be laughing at God. Well, Isaac came. And then they also had Ishmael by one of the servants, a little oopsie on Abraham's part. But again, God blessed Abraham's faith. So even Ishmael, who the New Testament calls a son of the flesh, even Ishmael is blessed. All the Muslim world is Ishmael. The Gentile world in general, you could refer to as Ishmael. And then Isaac is the Jewish world. God blessed both of them. God calls things that are not as though they are. Now you do too. But do you do it in a good way or maybe just in a negative way? Because people say things like this. Man, it's going to be a hard day tomorrow. I'm going to be so tired. I'll probably have a headache when I get home. Man, I'll be glad to get home and just get my feet up because it's going to be miserable. Well, you're not even there yet, right? You're just prophesying. You're going to be tired and you're going to be down and you're going to be miserable. You prophesy that stuff. You call things that are not as though they were. Well, I'm going off to school, you know, I'm going to be lonely and it's going to be hard. I hope I can get through, but you never know, you know, I guess I'll give it a try. We just speak into our future. And not speaking good things is considered normal. Speaking good things is considered weird by many people, right? But for those of us who follow Abraham, the faith of Abraham, or those of us who follow the word of God and the way of Jesus, speaking good things into our future, calling things that are not as though they are, should be normal. It should be part of our lifestyle. I believe new contracts are coming. I believe opportunities are coming. Doors are opening. My salary's going up. Oh, well, what's wrong with you? Because, you know, the economy's going down and the governor said in the government of the taxes, and yeah, well, that's for all you people. For me, God gives me power to get well, right? I'm not saying what the news said and what the economy said and what the governor said and what the mayor, I'm not saying it's not true. It just doesn't apply to me because I'm serving God. I'm trusting God. I have faith in God. So we, who have faith in God, call things that are not as though they are, right? So you speak. Think of it as speaking into your future. What do you call tomorrow? I call it blessed. I call it prosperous. I call it healthy. I call it happy. I call it peaceful, right? Well, I have scriptures to back that up. God gives me power to get well, Deuteronomy. Isaiah 26, he will keep me in perfect peace when my mind is stayed on him. Right? Ephesians, God will give above and beyond what I could ask or think. We're going into negotiations. If I was a businessman, negotiating a contract, dealing with a land purchase or a land sale, I'd be saying, God gives me wisdom. God gives me favor. This is going to be an exciting event. I can't wait to see what the Lord does, because I know one thing for sure. I will come out the winner. You don't mess with God's kids. You don't mess with God's kids. We win. All we do is win, right? But you've heard people, and maybe you're one of those people, oh, you know, hope it goes good. These guys are going to rip me off if they can. I mean, I just hope I don't lose. You know, we're just trying. We're just hanging in there. Bruh, your future looks dark because you speak darkness into your future. Well, you know, I'm not young like I used to be. I'm 32 now. Really? You old at 32? Bro, you start calling things that are not. I am strong in the Lord. I have more energy now than I've ever had. I get more done now than I've ever gotten done. Right? Call things. See, you think it's weird, I know, and people have told you, oh, that's weird stuff. Even without God, if you speak positive things into your life, you will get better results. With God, with the promise, with the scripture, you'll get much better results, right? So that's what the Bible teaches. Call those things that be not as though they are. Now, go to verse 18. Contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Just think on that phrase, contrary to hope, in hope believed. There's many times in our life where there's, in the natural, no reason to have hope. But I'm going to have hope anyway. Contrary to hope, I'm going to hope in God. Read through all the Psalms that say, hope thou in God. Hope. Speak to yourself. Hope in God. See God's promise. See God's blessing. See God's favor. Have hope in God and believe that he is working. How many times has somebody touch Jesus or fall before Jesus or cry out to Jesus and his response was, according to your faith. If you believe, you receive. And Jesus said, speak to your mountain and believe that it will be removed and you will have whatever you say. So when you say it out loud, this mountain has to go. This problem has to go. This pain has to go. This disease has to go. I believe God is working in me. I believe healing is working in me. You speak to it and you believe that you receive it and you will have it, right? So that's the word of God. That's the Bible. Well, you say, I know somebody one time they did that and it didn't work. Well, are you going to follow Aunt Betsy or are you going to follow your Bible? Okay, I guess we all could say we've done things and it didn't work the way we wanted it to. But it just means we need to apply ourselves more diligently to the scripture, to follow the faith of Abraham and follow the word of God, right? Don't look for a way out and look for an excuse, but rather, contrary to hope, oftentimes in hope we believe. Verse 19, look there. Not being weak in faith. Don't be weak in faith. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. You know, I'm just like my mama, and my mama was a worry wart, and we just worry. That's the way we are. We just worry, and you know, if we didn't worry, who would worry? And it's really just our place in the family. We're called to worry. Stop with your worry wart self. It's not a calling. Your mama didn't raise you right. Well, you don't have to get nasty now. I'm trying to help you. You've got to cut loose the negative, the unbelief, the fear, and the anxiety. If you want the promise of God, if you want your family to prosper, if you want to live a long, healthy life, if you want to overcome the negatives in this world, you have to begin to call things that are not as though they are, contrary to hope, in hope, believe, and not being weak in faith. You just have to decide, right? It's easy to be negative. It takes strong spiritual backbone to be positive. Not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body. They said, bro, you're 100 years old. You can't have kids. And he said, well, hang around and watch. He did not consider his own body already dead. One translation says it like this. He knew he was 100 years old and his body was not functioning as a young man, but he still trusted God. Right? So okay, I know what the diagnosis is, but I believe healing works in me. I know what the banker said, but I believe God will make a way when there is no way. I know what the circumstance. I'm not blind to the natural things. I just believe in the supernatural things. Right? Look at verse 20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Okay, I want to close on that thought right there. He didn't waver, but he strengthened his faith, giving glory to God. The Amplified Bible says this, he grew strong in faith as he praised and worshiped God. Some of you think praise and worship is just the preliminaries, right? I have people tell me pretty regularly, oh yeah, I come to Christian faith, but I come after the preliminaries are done. So what they mean is I skip the music and the offering and I just want to be there for the teaching. Okay, what it says to me is you're not very smart. If you think worship is a preliminary, you're not very smart. Because the Bible from Genesis to Revelation is full of worship and the power that worship brings into your life. To lift up your hands, to humble yourself before God, to surrender to before God, to shout to the Lord, to clap your hands. All of these things empower your faith. So when you have an attitude about worship, you have a problem with God. Okay, if I'm talking about you, just keep looking straight ahead. I see wives hitting their husbands in the side. I've been telling you, get your hands out of your pockets. Right, but a lot of people have a problem with worship. Why? Because their pride, their ego, you know, and they make up excuses. Well, I've never been a good singer. We don't care. We're not good singers. However, when you're at the club, you got no problem. It's fun to go to the YMCA. It's fun to go to the... You get a few beers in you, you'll worship. You just worship the wrong thing. Right? Okay, keep looking straight ahead. I'm talking about you. Some of you guys in your country music, right? Oh yeah, you love to sing. You and Garth. Garth, how old is Garth Brooks? You and Garth, I saw a picture of him the other day. Brother needs healing. I think he needs salvation. But you and Garth Brooks, you love that. Well, I got friends in low places. Where the whiskey flows and the beer chases my blues away. You love singing your country. And I'll be okay. When we come to church, you're like, Why? Why? I mean, we all have our style and our way. I like country music, but you need to be careful what you sing. Because you sing the wrong country song, you're going to lose your dog. You're going to lose your pickup truck. And you're going to lose your wife. She's down the road. But the Bible says, worship God with all that is within you. And Abraham was strong in faith, empowered by faith, as he gave praise and glory to God. So maybe if you would lift your hands and worship, even by yourself, even in your car, put a song on, put an album on, get the Christian Faith Praise and Worship song, and just begin to praise the Lord and worship God. It's not about having a quality voice. It's having a good heart. And God receives that worship, and your faith is strengthened. Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.